I want you to look again this morning and notice two verses in Psalm 65, both of which make reference to time and chronology. The first one you'll notice is verse 8. It says, "They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice, the east and the west, the sunrise and the sunset." Morning and evening are tokens, or what we call a day. In fact, actually, in the book of Genesis, the evening and the first and the morning, God said, were the first day. And of course, by extension, the same event often refers to a life, the sunset of life, we call it, beyond the sunset and so on. And then it's also a reminder of an entire year. Rosh Hashanah, for example, begins at sunset, which is the head, if you will, of the Jewish year. And so, notice what it says now in verse 11. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Now, wait a minute. Verse 8, thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Verse 9, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Later in the Psalms, we are familiarized with the text. It says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same. The Lord's name is to be praised." In other words, note this, yes, this reference of a sunrise and a sunset, of a morning and an evening, is a reminder of a period of time. However, it's also a reference to something else with that time, something wonderful, something crucial, something very powerful in the believer's life. After all, what the text says is, thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to what? From the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, what? What do you do about those 24 hours? Do you put an X on the calendar that day? You change your status maybe on Facebook. You count your calories from morning to evening, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same. You count your wages or your taxes or your index. Or you calculate the interest that you made or lost on that day. The money is to be counted, I suppose, for every financial institution. From Wall Street to Guam, it is the sound of a bell, the opening bell and the closing bell, that notes that very day. But in this case, the text says what? It says the outgoings of the morning and the evening rejoice. It says later in Psalms, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Folks, that is spiritual. And it is an indication this morning that for the child of God, there is always something deeper. There is always something far more significant in the course of a day or a year or a lifetime than mere numbers on a calendar and the markings on a ledger. And for me, on this Christmas day, on this New Year's Eve day, the Lord God has spoken to my heart about time and about moments in time. And about what He has granted to all of us in this room and our grave and great responsibility and what we hold in our hands in this moment that we call time. Father in heaven, I pray You'll speak to our hearts. I pray that we'll understand what it means, dear Lord, in Your Word, when You who were the one who instituted time, who do not live in time, who does not live in this capsule of what we know as a morning and an evening, but You granted it to us. May we understand why and what it means for us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Three things in the text this morning I want you to notice as we all on New Year's Eve begin to embrace a brand new year. The first one I want you to notice, number one, is a lesson of glory, the glory of God. After all, you'll notice that the text speaks first and foremost about two glorious things: morning and evening, sunrise and sunset, both of which are often so beautiful that they testify to the very glory of God. Verse 5 says this, look at it. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God, of our salvation. Who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains being girded with power. That's the glory of God. Verse 8, they also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. Unsaved people are afraid of what happens in the sky. But thou makest the outgoings of the morning and the evening to rejoice. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. How many sunrises and how many sunsets? How many tokens of the morning and the evening have you seen in the physical sense just this past week, just this past month, the past year, the past decade? How many times have you looked at and paid attention to these sunrises and sunsets throughout your entire life? And I ask that because of a very natural human tendency. Someone once wrote, "That which is customary soon becomes commonplace." In other words, anything that is oft-repeated, no matter how wonderful or beautiful or glorious it is, it eventually becomes oft-ignored. For example, suppose this morning that a sunset or a sunrise only occurred once every 100 years. In other words, if you're fortunate, you get to see one your entire lifetime. Now imagine that for a moment. That also means that for the first 5,000 years of human history, people could only rely on what they were told about the beauty of a sunrise or a sunset. The stunning glow of the orange and the purple and the pink, because there's no videos, no photography 300-400 years ago and beyond. So, of course, when the date for one of these 100-year events begins to approach, you realize it would be a huge deal. Right? I mean, can you imagine the worldwide commotion, the excitement that that would draw? I still remember 1986. I remember the hype and all the media attention of the coming of Halley's Comet. Halley's is the correct way they said to pronounce it. Halley's, Halley's, tomato, tomato. I don't know. Halley's Comet. I'd never seen it as yet. It's only visible, as you know, every 75 years. So 28 years of age that year, this was my very first time. Brother Wooster's third, amen. I'm just kidding about that. The next one is in 2061, the next appearance of Halley's Comet. And I want to promise you young people here, 45 years from now, remember what I said on this New Year's Eve. When it comes, don't buy the hype. Don't go out and buy a $5,000 telescope and travel to some mountain in Colorado and stay up 3 a.m. in freezing temperatures because of this so-called miracle they're going to tell you about in 45 years. Unless you get completely bowled over by a little fuzzy dot and a light in the sky. And if that's the case, let me just say that you can see 3,000 of those every single night. Which is the point. That which is customary often becomes commonplace. And yes, beloved, to the beauty, it applies to the unparalleled beauty of a sunrise and of a sunset. So that again, if we did only see one every 75 years or so, you can be sure that we wouldn't tell our grandkids or our kids that it's a little teeny tiny dot in the sky. We wouldn't downplay it at all. We would tell them the truth. We would describe it with such detail to our children, they would stand on the tiptoe of expectation as their opportunity once in a lifetime to see a single sunrise or a single sunset. It would be a spectacle heralded around the world. You know that's true. And prepared for with lifelong anticipation. And you also know it would not be a disappointment for a single observer on the one day that it arrived. But you see again, this is the perversity of our human nature. We don't oftentimes see the beauty of God's handiwork and God's glory when it's right smack in front of us. The beauty is there every single day. His glory is there every single day. The marvel and the wonder and the majesty, it's all right there in God's creation. But our carnal eyes just get used to it. And the same dynamic happens with every good and perfect gift that comes from above. A newborn baby, a sinner is saved, a prayer is answered, a Bible is opened. I still remember a trip we took, a missions trip, and seeing this teenage boy, the first Bible he had ever held in his hands, and he opened it up and the wonder in his eyes. He was a believer, but he'd never held a Bible. And when he opened it, he was in awe. I don't think you were in awe a few moments ago when you opened yours. But that doesn't change the fact that it's awesome. That it's awesome that we get to do it. A meal is served. A truth is preached and heard. A full moon, a starry night, a placid sea, a little child's sincere prayer, a wedding vow. I want to remind you that every sunrise and every sunset tells us that God is glorious, that 2017 had a baseline of 365 glorious, beautiful works of God. In fact, double that, sunrise and sunset. And from that 365 times two, you can add scores and hundreds and thousands of other reminders of the glory of the Lord. So that what happened in 2017 is also going to happen in 2018 when it comes to His Majesty. It's only a matter of whether or not you see it. That brings us to the second thing. Number one, the morning and evening are a reminder of God's glory. God is an artist who is fond of colors and variety that no man can recreate. His glory is everywhere, but secondly, I want you to notice, it's also a reminder of God's goodness. Verse 12, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. Now, beloved, I want you to think for a moment about a sunrise and what it teaches us about the faithfulness of God and specifically the faithfulness of God toward His own. You see, we use the expression, the sun always rises. Or as sure as the sun rises in the east, or the sun will come up tomorrow, and on it goes. The sunrise after a long dark night is a testimony in God's parable that God is faithful to His own. And that God in His faithfulness always provides for His own. So that from the rising of the sun under the going down of the same, God's name is to be praised. Praised for what? Praised for His goodness. Look at verse 8 again. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid of thy tokens. You know, they make idols. The pagans do out of the sun and out of the stars, out of the moon. If something were to happen in days of old, like an eclipse, they were terrified. It's because they didn't know the creator of these things. You do. But notice what it says. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening, here it is, to rejoice. In other words, look, sunrise and sunset are so powerful that if we did see it for what it truly is, we would shout for joy. It's a testimony of Him. Verse 9. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. And then in the great theme verse for any year, it says in verse 11, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. Wow. Beloved, think of it this way. Every morning and every evening, there is a new jewel of God in a year-long string of jewels. And then with those 750 jewels, verse 11 indicates He makes a crown. He makes a crown, and with that crown, He crowns the entire year with His goodness. Now, folks, I mentioned a moment ago the sad reality that human nature tends not to notice or appreciate everyday blessings and everyday glories, and it's the truth. The carnal flesh rarely values that which happens upon them every day. We don't value the blessings that come all the time, and we don't value the blessings that don't cost anything. So if you go back to the text, if you go back to Psalm 113 and the sunrise and the sunset, and you think about those beautiful testimonials, and if they did only come once every 75 years, and if, for example, you could only see it once every 75 years because you paid admission that one time, do you realize what would happen? This would be an enormous industry. Because somebody would sell seats for oceanside viewing, right? There would be premier mountain view seating for the rich and the powerful. Skyboxes and tailgating. Folks would start savings account for their little newborns called the Sunrise Fund or the Sunset Fund so that when their child came of age, they would have their ticket to the show of a lifetime, right? And when it came, beholding it for their one and only time, they would bask in every fleeting second of the glory of that sunrise or that sunset. So that whatever that ticket cost, it wouldn't compare to the enjoyment of this singular blessing. All right? That's obvious. But there's good news. Tomorrow morning, it's free. And tomorrow night, it's free. It's not even buy one, get one. It's just get two free every day. Exactly like scores and hundreds and thousands of blessings that God bestows upon us every single day and every single night. You may remember Psalm 127, the Lord giveth His beloved sleep. That's an every night blessing. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, are you saying that the Bible says you're supposed to be grateful and to praise God for sleep? You would if you haven't had it for 2 days or 3 days. Sleep deprivation is a form of torture. That's how awesome it is. You ask a mother of a newborn if sleep is not a blessing. And the same thing is true for our vision and eyesight. The same thing is true for your job. You're tired of your job, bored with your job, don't like your job, hate your job, wish you didn't have your job, then go without work for a few months. Talk to someone in this room that doesn't have a job and needs one badly. The same is true for our ability to walk. For our freedom to worship and to meet in this church. For hearing and tasting and feeling. And for every single hour that God gives you with your wife and your husband and your child. I remember years ago on this one New Year's Day, 1999, I stopped at a gas station on North Lake Boulevard. I filled up with gas, and I went inside the little store there, and I wanted to buy a little packet of pain reliever, aspirins or whatever, because I had a headache coming on. It so happened that the gentleman behind the counter was from India, and apparently he didn't believe in modern medicine or medication at all. So he said to me, you don't want aspirin. I don't know. That's my Indian accent. It probably sounds Russian. I don't know. Whatever. He said, you want aspirin for what? I said, first of all, I thought to myself, why are you asking me why do I want aspirin? I'm just in a gas station and I want aspirin, but he's diagnosing me, I guess. When I told him I had a headache, he did something more unusual than asking me why I wanted aspirin. He came around the counter and turned my hands up like this. He just grabbed my hands and turned them up. He said, Pastor, you let him? Well, I had a headache, so I was in pain. I was like, yeah, what? Now I'm curious, so He grabbed my thumb and he took his pen and he began to roll it across the print of my thumb. And I mean, he didn't just roll it. He crushed every nerve and blood vessel in my thumb as he rolled it across. And it hurt so much. Honestly, it hurt so much. I had tears in my eyes. I could feel the tears welling up. And before I could say Mahatma Gandhi, he grabbed the other hand and he started doing that one. Smashing and crushing what were once good, healthy cells. And he kept saying, I am concentrating the pain right here. And he was concentrating the pain in my thumbs. And a few minutes later, I'm driving down 95 just like that. Throbbing two thumbs and excruciating headache. And by the way, now, no aspirins either. That was New Year's Day, 1999. And the reason I remember it so well, other than just the pain, is that the next morning I remember waking up and thinking, this is awesome, because my thumbs don't hurt. In fact, I can remember a few times during the year I would remember that illustration thinking, man, it's so nice not to have thumbs that are throbbing with pain. Are you grateful this morning that your thumbs don't hurt? Because I've got a pen up here. And I can concentrate your gratitude. We don't know. We don't even consider how good God is to us in all of these different ways. Verse 11, thou crownest the year. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness. You know, anybody who's ever read the book of Psalms, and especially the Psalms of David, is well aware of the fact that David experienced and David wrote about all of his trials and failures and disappointments and temptations and doubts, his fears. King David did not present some phony, gilded, sort of rosy, trouble-free view of life and of serving God. And that's good, because the truth is, life does consist of trials and temptations and troubles. 1 year ago at this time, I preached. And I said, folks in this church don't know what mountains or what valleys they're going to go through. Our family didn't. Life consists of heartaches. Job said, man is a few days and full of trouble. What an interesting statement. Few days, full of trouble. And certainly the previous year and the new year will testify to that. Every year has its own share of sorrows and disappointments and failures. But you see, folks, for every single believer in this room, there is this greater and more vital and important truth, and it's the truth of verse 11, that whatever else the year may bring, God always crowns the year. The crown on the year is His goodness. In other words, it is true and it'll always be true that every year on earth includes a certain amount of tears and heartache and heartbreak. But in addition to those tears, yea, greater than and above those tears, God places a crown. You may not recognize it. You may not own it. You may not embrace it. You may not see it by faith. But God does it every year. And it's the crown of His goodness. And you bear in mind that a crown is placed the highest, it's the most visible. A crown speaks of beauty and splendor. It speaks of royalty. So that when David says that God crowns the year with His goodness, he is saying that above and beyond all of the year's trials and tears, God will place the crown of His goodness, that God's bounty will always outweigh, outnumber, and outlast our burdens. You think of this. God gives these two jewels every day, a morning and an evening. A sunrise and a sunset, so that every year He crowns that year with His great goodness. You know, the great preacher Charles Jefferson wrote in 1885, when we begin to stagger under life's routine and monotony, God sets the western sky on fire to make the soul cheerful again. Verse 9, thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God. Verse 10, thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. You know, we noted earlier that truth in James 1:17. It says, every good and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. Well, folks, that's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual reality that includes a physical blessing. The rain that falls from above and gives life to this very earth has spoken to every single nation and tribe in this world. Every nation understands that there is this goodness of God from heaven. And so Jesus took the little loaves and fishes from that lad, and it says in Luke chapter 9, he took them, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks. Why did he look up to heaven? And why did he then give thanks for the bread and the meat from up there? Because as the text says, thou God, thou visitest the earth and waterest it, thou greatly enrichest it. In other words, Jesus recognized what we must all recognize. That every stitch of clothing that you place on your body, that every bite of food you will eat later today, that every drink of water, every breath of air, every step that we take is all by the goodness of God. Verse 13 says, the pastures are clothed with flocks. Why? Why are there flocks of sheep? The Bible tells us. Proverbs 27:26 says, the lambs are for thy clothing and the wheat is for thy food. In other words, look, wool and grain and cotton and fruit, whatever it is that provides food and clothing to your benefit, that goodness is a gift of the goodness of a glorious God. And I would say to remind you that whatever trials and troubles come your way, in 2018. And whatever trials and troubles came your way in 2017. I look around the room here and no one in this room starved to death, and nobody in this room has gone without food or raiment. And nobody in this room who is truly a child of God lost your salvation in 2017. And the only reason is because God is good. And He's so good. He crowns the year with His goodness. Which brings us to the final thing. A lesson of God's glory, a lesson of God's goodness. Number three, there's a lesson of God's grace. Verse 2 says this, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me, as for our transgressions thou shalt purge them away. Verse 5, by terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. You know, I was thinking about Psalm 102 not long ago. It says, my days are like a shadow that declineth. My days are like a shadow that decline. The shadows decline, as you know, with the setting sun. Morning and evening. It is a reminder to us, that scripture in Psalm 102 is a reminder of just how brief and unstoppable this event is of the declining day. Day is dying in the west. Heaven is touching earth with rest. Wait and worship while the night sets her evening lamps alight through all the sky. You know, Jesus said the night cometh. This earth, this life, the shadow that declines, it is very brief. But, verse 5 says, thou wilt answer us, O God, of our salvation. In other words, now follow this. If you haven't heard anything else, listen to this, please. As brief and fleeting and sometimes troublesome as this life is, there is one thing that brings hope and purpose and joy and understanding to it all. And it is by the grace of God. I'll put it this way. You're going through your life, and as a shadow that declineth, as a morning turns into sunset, you go along this journey on earth and you see and you witness in your journey the glory and the blessing and the wonder of God. And you see it in this life, but somewhere along the way, somewhere in this journey that alone is dark and troublesome, somewhere along the way you come into contact and you experience the grace of God. And when you come into contact and experience this divine appointment with God, just as it was with the woman at the well, the Bible says in John 4, at the sixth hour of the day, it was just an hour in a day. It was just another hour, and it was going to soon be gone. And that woman who was broken and hurt and full of sorrow, that woman going through life, had a divine appointment. That hour became sacred and glorious. And for her, it turned into an eternity. That verse in verse 2 says this. It says, O thou that hearest prayer. Who hears prayer? God. Where is he? He's in heaven. He can hear my prayers. Yes, he's God. Thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. This is what Jesus meant. When the temporal, the flesh, meets the eternal. And when that divine appointment happens, the change that is initiated at that moment is not just for today, not for that day, not just for tomorrow, it's for all of eternity. It is why our Lord Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. I wonder this morning about you. This year is almost over. The harvest is past. The summer is ended, Jeremiah said, and we are not saved. Anybody in this room who wants to go into a brand new year and close a year without having this divine appointment, without having been born again. Born once, die twice. Ye must be born again. Born twice, die once. Have you been saved? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Are you truly born again? Why would you put it off? Until one day, without that divine appointment, your shadow declines and you die. And you are separated from God in hell forever. Today is the day of salvation. For those in this room who went through life and you came to the grace of God and you were born anew and afresh, whatever the year holds, the glory of that, O God of our salvation, is a crowning goodness that overshadows any trial, any temptation, and any trouble, because this goes on for eternity. Our Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for crowning 2017 with your goodness. And I pray, Father, that no matter what happens in the coming year, we will have the faith to recognize that you will still crown it with your goodness. And I thank you, Father, that this crown of your glory and your goodness and of your grace will remind us, dear Father, that this is an eternal, an everlasting, never-ending blessing, so that it will outweigh, outnumber, and outlast any trial that comes our way. May we have a new song, and may the lost see it and glorify you. May we be a testimony to this lost world of what it truly means to be children of the Most High God. And so we praise you today once again for your faithfulness in this past year, and we ask, Father, that we will trust you because we know you're faithful in every year that stretches before us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.